by verse by verse in order, mostly in order, through 1 Corinthians. And today and two more weeks and we will have completed it and we'll move on to something different. But I hope that it's been helpful to you and encouraging. I know I've grown and I've learned some things myself by doing that. And so today we're going to be in chapter 12. Next Sunday we'll be in chapter 14. We did 13 earlier. We kind of did that one out of order. So if you have your Bibles, join me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 31. Now, while you're turning there and finding it, let me just say a couple things. This text, the Apostle Paul is somebody, when he writes, sometimes, I don't know about you, but it's a head scratcher sometimes. I'm like, what is he trying to say? It's not always that easy to understand. I'm convinced that this section that we're looking at today, probably one of the easiest parts of Paul's to understand. Matter of fact, if you walk away confused today, then I'm just a terrible communicator, because I think you could just read the scripture on your own and probably get it, but I'm just going to highlight a few things. That being said, I'm warming you up because next Sunday, not so much. Next Sunday, we're going to look at chapter 14, and unfortunately, chapter 14 is probably, many would even argue, one of the most divisive passages of scripture in the entire New Testament. Like, churches split over this stuff. And so we'll be looking at that. So come with an open heart, open mind, and an open Bible, because that's what we'll be looking at next Sunday. But today, the Apostle Paul is talking about the body of Christ, and he uses the analogy of the amazing human body, and he compares the two. And it's very interesting. I don't know how much you ever thought about it, but the Bible is true when it says in the Psalms that our bodies, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you ever thought about, just for a moment, the intricacies of our human bodies, I'm just going to share with you, like, I pulled out like 9 things that I'm like, that is just unbelievable to me when I think of our bodies. And it's not stuff that I would normally think about, but when presented, I'm like, wow. So like your eyes, your corneas, I did not know this. The only part of our bodies that has no blood supply, it gets its oxygen directly from the air. That's how it gets oxygen, your corneas. And then our bones, from birth to death, we go from having 300 bones to 206. I feel like I've lost a few lately. And a fourth of all your bones are in your feet. That makes sense, because you have to have stability to support everything else, right? Small intestines, yes, we went there. Roughly 23 feet are coiled and looping around your midsection if you were to pull them out and stretch it out. Blood vessels are more than 100,000 miles. Now, this one blows my mind. If you laid those blood vessels end for end long enough to travel around the world more than 3 times, can you imagine? I'm 6'2", 6'3", right? And take all my blood vessels more than 3 times around the world. That's mind-boggling to me. Saliva. In a lifetime, a human produces roughly 6,250 gallons, enough to fill almost 2 swimming pools, right? There, yeah, we're all full of spit, right? Yeah. Fat. Our bodies consist of enough fat that can make up to 7 bars of soap. Some of us can make a few extra bars, if you know what I'm saying, right? I won't look at you right now. I'll just keep going. Skin. A single square inch of skin has about 300 sweat glands. I take exception with that. I promise you, I have like 600 in a square inch. Because all you out here, it's always so cold in here because it's always so hot up here. I'm just telling you. Here's another one. Heart. It beats about 100,000 times a day. And then this last one, man, I had no idea. Your farts. On average, humans pass gas enough in one day to fill up a party balloon, right? I told my wife, man, here at the Boyer House with our boys and me, you ever seen those Macy Day Parade floats? So I'm just saying, like, wow. Well, let's review. Wow. Let's get away from farts. Let's get back to the scripture for a second. What are we talking about? The Bible says this. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul has been writing this letter to the church of God in Corinth, that which we've been reading and studying, to encourage people, to correct some major lifestyle issues that were taking place within the church and also with individual family units within the church. See, the problem with the Church of God in Corinth was that it was giving off a poor reflection of life with Jesus. They were crippled by all sorts of sins, and if we've noticed several of these over the last several months as we studied together, there were divisions and factions and schisms within the congregation. We saw that there was improper and unhealthy sexual relationships outside of marriage, but watch this, even inside of marriage. There was a lack of appropriate church discipline when needed. There was an abuse of one's freedoms and rights at the expense of another person's freedoms and rights. There was a lack of respect and understanding about the authority, the proper authority of the church leadership. There was an improper emphasis and use of spiritual gifts. There was confusion and even denial over the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there was a lack of love and unity, which was to be the most important of the body of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, in chapters 12 and 13 and 14, he is imploring the congregation as he writes to them to remember who they are in Christ Jesus. Here's what he says: you are the body of Christ. You, the church, are the body of Jesus. Now think about that. Jesus is no longer, right? Jesus is no longer in this world in a physical body any longer. He ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And so that really truly means you, me, we are his body on earth. Matter of fact, Paul uses the word body or bodies 19 times in 20 verses. Do you think he's trying to drive home a point? He says, listen, the body of Christ, the church, has many parts that work together as one. Let's look at it, verse 12. Our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they're all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We've been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit, and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. Although some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. We are all different. We all have many different parts here working, but we're one body in Christ. He starts out by addressing this truth. We are different. He begins by talking about our diversity. And what Paul is going to say to the people is, you got to recognize it. Sometimes I've lived 52 years, and in those 52 years, I'm not sure. I think our culture is schizophrenic. I think it's confused. There are many times I think it's pushed us to recognize our differences, and other times I think it tells us, like, ignore it, like we're all the same. There are no differences. I think Paul is right on. He says, listen, we are different. We all have diversity. We have variety. We need to recognize it. I mean, just look around this room for a second. Just look. Look at each other. So different from one another. From our fashion design, our lack thereof, our hairlines, or some lack thereof, our fingerprints, right? Unique. Our facial features, right? Don't you love your smartphone? Like, it has facial recognition software that I can open my phone and lock it just by holding it up to my face. You can hold it up to your face, it won't unlock for you. Why? Because it notices the subtleties of the way my facial features are. Same with you. And yet, I know that probably somewhere out there is another person that looks a lot like Jeff Boyer. And there's somebody else out in this world somewhere that looks maybe a lot like you. I thought it was interesting. This picture has resurfaced this last year when the Green Bay Packers were over in London playing the New York Giants, but it was Christmas, like on the, I think it was like December 21st, or it was in 2021, that it first happened when the Chicago Bears played the Green Bay Packers, and the Bears fans and the Bears team were just freaking out because they swear, oh no, my gosh, there's two Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has a doppelganger. Did you know that? This guy, his name's Fred. He's a German software engineer from Germany. He went to the Green Bay Packers, and somewhere through that NBC noticed, that dude looks just like the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And so this guy's got a lot of publicity, and even more publicity now because he went to the game in London to watch again. And so, but here's the thing, similarities. If Aaron Rodgers took his hat off and let his hair out, you would be going, are you kidding me? And yet there are so much subtleties as well. Each one of us is unique. And I believe that's because God likes variety. Just look around in creation, right? If you go west to the Great Plains and the desert, if you go up north to the Great Lakes, if you go to the east, you'll find the Great Smoky Mountains. If you go south, you'll find some great warmth and oceans, right? God, just like creation, though, has designed each of us with differences. And he put variety and diversity into his church. If you go back and you look at the first part of chapter 12, you'll find that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. There are different operations of those gifts. Two people can have the same spiritual gift, and yet they can use that gift in operation different than the other. There are different kinds and styles of ministry. And what Paul is trying to say is, hey, man, we need to recognize that. But listen, there's more than just recognition. We also need to appreciate it. It's one thing to recognize. It's one thing to make note that me and this person are different. It's quite a different thing, though, to also then appreciate the differences. I wonder, when's the last time you looked at somebody who's different than you and you appreciated them for who they were? When's the last time you told them so? You know what I really appreciate about you? There are people I look at and I'll say, man, I wish I could be more like that. They're different. There are some people who are a lot more laid back, and I'm pretty high strung all the time going, let's go. And I look at them, man, their life seems a little more peaceful at times than me. Why is that? And there's strengths in my personality. There's strengths in their personality, just as there's weaknesses. But I like look at them and I'm like, I want to appreciate that they come at something differently than I do. But not only that, Paul says then celebrate it. We need to celebrate our diversity, but in the same token, don't let our diversity make us be disunited. In our diversity, we got to seek unity. And here's what I think was happening. The church saw the differences, but instead of appreciating them and celebrating them, they became a wedge that divided the church. And now Paul's going to turn the corner, and he says, man, listen, in our differences, they must not divide us, they must unite us. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Again, some are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. That's an interesting word, the word baptized in the Greek. It's the word baptizo. It's a Greek word that has a double connotation. Literally translated, it means to dip repeatedly, or in the same sense, it means to immerse or submerge. In the Greek culture, it was a nautical terminology. It was a nautical analogy. The ship was not merely initiated into water. It was thoroughly overwhelmed by the water. The water then was in the ship, and the ship then was underneath the water. Here's what Paul says. The Holy Spirit is in the Christian, and the Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tilt my hand just a little bit, all right? We'll get to this next week, but I want you to notice that last part. We have been baptized, submerged into Christ's body by the one Spirit, and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. So all these heretics out there who tell you that if you don't have the gift of tongues and speaking the Holy Spirit, you're not saved, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not biblical. Right there it says, all have been given that same Holy Spirit. I'll just tell you right now, I don't speak in tongues. But I'm confident that I'm saved. And I'm confident that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And that's what the scripture tells me right there. So I digress. We'll get to that next week, that controversial text, right? But Paul says, listen, we got to talk about our unity. We need to emphasize it. We are the body of Christ. We are not the body of Christ individually. We're the body of Christ together. We don't lose. When you walked in here today, you didn't lose your individual identities. You called me by name. I called some of you by name because I know you. You look different than me. You are different than me. You didn't lose your individual identity. But when we come in here, we have this overriding oneness in Jesus. And so, yes, we celebrate our differences. We celebrate our diversity, but we must not allow those to morph into doing my own thing, my own way, because that's just how God made me, without any consideration towards harmony and unity with the body of Christ. We're going to have different interests. We're going to have different expressions of those interests, but we must emphasize and we must pursue one community, one commonality, and that is unity in Christ. Not only should we emphasize it, we ought to pursue it. We should be united by our dependence upon and our commitment to Jesus Christ. We may see things differently in our understanding of the Scriptures, but we must be pursuing unity. Let me give you an idea of what that might look like. Just so you understand me a little bit as the pastor of this church, when you come to the reading of Scriptures and understanding those and breaking those down and having a personal understanding as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, there's two different ways of looking at this. There's an open hand and a closed fist. And there are some things that we're going to look at Scriptures that we already have and we're going to continue to look at that I'm going to put in this open hand. There are some things that are in my closed fist. Here's the difference. In the open hand, there may be such things, let's just say eschatology. You're like, well, what's that? End times. There are people here in this church that come from different backgrounds. There are some of you who believe that when Jesus comes again and the whole end of time, some of you believe in what's called premillennialism. Others of you believe in postmillennialism. The Church of God believes in amillennialism. Some of you are like, I don't even know what he's talking about. It's okay, well, you can figure that out later. Some of you believe in panmillennialism. It'll all pan out when Jesus comes back, so I'm not going to worry about it, right? Whatever that is, we're going to put that here. Here's another one. Let's put in this hand your politics and nationalism as it relates to the church, if it should relate to the church at all. What do you think about politics, and how does it inform your decision-making, process? What about this one? Let's put in the roles of men and women of the church, and are there differences in what positions they should have in the church? Let's put that there. And my guess is that there will be a lot of different opinions in this hand. And if I were to go like this, if those fall out, is it okay? It is for me. I still want to have a relationship with you. Still going to do life with you. I'm still going to call you my brother and sister. As long as what's in this hand, when I turn it over, we don't let go of it. In this hand, this is what I believe, what Jesus said in the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to salvation. I believe in the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus' bodily resurrection from the grave. I believe that Jesus is coming back to get his church, his people. My friend, that is a hill I will die on. That is a hill that you and I aren't going to debate because it's not worth my energy because, quite frankly, this is what I believe. And if we turn it over here, I'm not letting go of it, no matter what you say to me. Because here's what I believe. Everything comes back to this word of God, and we're going to stand on that. And that's going to be in this hand, too. And if we go like that, it ain't going to fall out. But the things that we hold in this hand maybe sometimes that we may not, we see it differently and we do this, is it going to cause me not to have fellowship with you? Probably not. Because in this hand, we're going to have a lot of grace and we're going to have a lot of charity and love. So I hope that helps just a little bit. I want us to pursue more the closed fist arguments than the open-handed ones. Where we're there, we'll just give each other a little bit of grace and charity. We're not going to try to prove the other one right or the other one wrong. But in this hand, we'll go to task on with each other because those are not negotiable for me, right? So with all of that, We still have to emphasize this, we have to pursue this, and we have to celebrate this unity. You know, I celebrate with my brothers and sisters at Wallasey Bible Church because in this last month when we did Be Rich together, this congregation and that congregation, just two churches together who make up the Big C Church, we packed over 120,000 meals to send to Haiti with people and families in need. That is commendable. We need to celebrate that. I celebrate that my brother and my sister in Neon, Kentucky, Pastor Mark and Lisa Wagner, through the flood that took place and kind of ruined the church house building, that they are rebuilding that we get to send money to help with that and the great work that they're doing in their congregation, not just for their people, but for their community, to let them know that Jesus loves them. That is what we celebrate. I celebrate the unity and the love that I have with my brother from another mother. This man right here, I met, I don't know how long we've known each other. It's been a long time. But I went to his church once. He came to my church once. He started volunteering for me when I was a youth pastor. And that bridge has hung tight. We are different, can you tell? But we are one in Jesus. And so much so that even my boys, as they've known him since they were little, that's their Uncle Willie. You ask them, if you showed them a picture, who's that? They'd say, that's my Uncle Willie. And even this last week, for 30, 45 minutes, Willie and I had conversation. You know what we talked about? Other than our families, the Word of God. And every once in a while, on a Sunday morning, before I walk out here, I'll check my phone and I'll have this message. Word of God says, and he'll give me this deep voice that he gives, and he'll read a word of God, and he says, now go preach, Pastor. And it's just his encouragement to me. I celebrate that I have somebody like this in my life. Now, if I could change it, I would. I don't know how to change location dynamics, but I wish we had a little more complexion within our congregation. I wish we didn't all look the same and white. I wish we had more African Americans. I wish we had more blacks. I wish we had more Hispanics. I wish we had more Asians. I would love that. But it's a little harder in Northwestern Indiana, is it not? But I hope that we will always be a church that would say, man, if we're in Jesus, it doesn't matter the complexity or the complexion of our skin or coloring of our skin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if somebody's rich or they're poor. If we're in Jesus, we're brothers and sisters. And we celebrate that. And we're going to do what Paul says. We're going to work together as one. Join with me. If the foot says, hey, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, well, that doesn't make any less part of the body. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and I'm not an eye? Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? If your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. So he has made many parts, but still there is only one body. Now, what is he saying in there besides all the kind of fun interactions with body parts? Here's what I want to say to some of you, and this is very serious. I want you to reject any feeling of inferiority. Did you hear what he said? The foot, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand. You know what that sounds like? My ministry contribution isn't that important. I'm just an usher. I'm just a greeter. I'm just a nursery worker. I'm just a bass player in the band. I'm just a part of the security team, or I'm just a custodial staff, or I'm just a camera operator, or I'm just a sound man. You know, if we all... But that's why they're important too, yes? The tendency is for those with maybe sometimes less visible positions within the body to feel that they're less important than others. And my friend, that is just not true. And you were placed by God here because God knew what we needed. God has you at North Webster Church of God for a reason. And so I ask you from my heart, what part of the body are you functioning as today? Not in the past. I'm talking about in the present, now. Because a church body is only as healthy, it's only as efficient when each part is functioning in their giftedness, when we're working together as one. So if this is you, reject any feeling of inferiority. Or if this is you, reject any feeling of superiority, where you think you're more than that and all that and a bag of chips because you're the one who's preaching, you're the one who has the microphone, or you're the one who's seen by everybody else, because you're just not that much more important. You're not. And if you come in here, and I've heard people do this, well, I don't need anyone else. I don't need to go to church. You need to reject that feeling or that attitude of superiority. I'll just be honest with you. There are so many times in my life when God has spoken an encouraging word to me personally through a member of this congregation. Sometimes it's even a word of rebuke or challenge that grew me towards more maturity. There have been brothers and sisters in Christ within this congregation that have spoken into my marriage, that have spoken into my parenting, that have spoken into my children's lives. And they've given my kids, they've given me and my wife, they've given us direction and inspiration. Some have given us counsel and wisdom. And yes, even sometimes just a listening ear, if you will, a sounding board where I can share my greatest fears, my greatest hurts, even my greatest hopes. I want to say up front, very loud and clear, I'm grateful for my church family. I am grateful that I get to be a part of the North Webster Church of God. I would hope that you would feel the same. I have so much to be thankful for because of many of you who have been a part of my life. And yet I still meet people. I'll cross paths with people who are like, oh, well, me and God, we're good. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go someplace and be around people. I can listen to some great messages online. A lot of them are even better preacher than you, Pastor Jeff, and I can get the information I need. It's probably true. But can I just challenge you and say the goal for you is not to get more information, it's to experience transformation. And transformation, I believe, only happens in community. Being with others that are not like me. Is it always easy? No. Do we always agree? Absolutely not. But it's in that, when Christ is the foundation, that we both grow. I always find it intriguing whenever I talk to somebody and I ask them, hey, do you go to church somewhere? Oh, yeah. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to, they name the church, right? I say, hi, who's the pastor of that church? Long pause, stammer, stutter. When that happens, if they can't tell me the pastor's name, it gives me a good indication how truly committed they are to that local congregation. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that me as the pastor or any pastor is that important. It's not so much about knowing the pastor's name that gets me. It's the point is about knowing and being known by others enough that God can use you in another's life and use another in your life to make you better. And if you go to a church on a regular basis and you know the pastor's name and you don't know the people who are there, are you really that connected? In the body of Christ, there's diversity. Let's recognize it. Let's appreciate it. Let's celebrate it. In the body of Christ, Paul says there's unity. Let's emphasize it. Let's pursue it and let's celebrate it. And then Paul says in the body of Christ, there's interdependence. There's mutual dependency. Look at verse 21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, hey, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Yes, we are especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd, and we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. While, of course, the parts that may be seen, they don't require the special attention. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. This makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. If one part suffers, all parts suffer. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. You see, God desires for us not to be independent. He desires to be interdependent, mutually dependent. The head doesn't say to the feet, I don't need you. And in our interdependence, Paul says, we need to declare that. We are better together. Can we just say that? We are better together. I need you. You need me. We is greater than me. We need to declare it. And then we need to embrace it. How good are you at that? How good are you embracing the interdependency that's in the body of Christ? Let me ask you a couple questions. Let's see how good you're at it. In the last month, did you take time to share with anyone, someone within the church, outside of your family, an area of need or concern in your life? If not, why not? Then you're not experiencing the body of Christ, as Paul would say, because you're not being mutually dependent. You don't really believe that we is greater and more important than just me, because we need each other. I need more than just my wife and my kids. We need each other. Let me ask a different question. In the last month, did you express gratitude to another member of the body of Christ for what they mean to you? Did you tell them, man, life wouldn't be the same if it wasn't for you and what you mean to me? Or what about this one? If someone were to come up to you this next week and say, man, it looks like you're going through a lot right now. How can I help you? Would you let them? Or would you be embarrassed? Would you be prideful, offended? I can't believe they asked me, can I help you? I don't need anybody's help. Would you receive it as a grace gift that you get to be a part of something bigger than just you, and that there are people who notice and they say, hey, can I help in any way? I'd love to help. And would you receive it? And you know what Paul said, right? If we were only eyes, right? If we were just one big eye, right? Look at this. If everybody here, that's all we were eyes, we could see that hurting child in our community. But none of us would have had the hands to reach out to help and to hold that hurting child. We all can't be eyes. We have to have some hands too. And the eyes can say to the hand, there's that kid, go help him. And the many parts work together as one body. Unfortunately, we're more prone to divide rather than to work together. Unfortunately, the tendency is for those who are in a more visible role, they feel like they're more important than the others. And Paul says, that's just not true. The parts that seem weaker, the parts that appear, shall we say, less honorable, they are not indispensable. They are so necessary. Now, my guess is, let's just be honest, none of us have walked up to somebody else and said, hey, man, whew, nice uvula. I like your uvula. Some of you go, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the uvula. The fleshy ball thing that hangs in the back of your mouth. When's the last time you went up to somebody and go, hey, nice uvula, right? Yeah, I like yours. But that's pretty important. Did you know it's important? Do you know what the purpose of that thing is? God put it back there for a reason. So that when you and I consume food and liquid, it doesn't go up into our nose cavity. You ever had that? You ever choked and had mashed potatoes come out your nose? Not cool. That little thing helps to try to guide it down where it's supposed to go. That little thing also secretes saliva so the mouth stays hydrated. We never walk up and say, hey, nice uvula. But it's important. And in addition to your uvula, we all too have body parts that we cover up, right? Not because those parts are insignificant, but because they are significant. They need to be protected. They need to be guarded because they're important and they have important functions. See, God created us the same to be interdependent. We need each other, every part for one body. So we got to look for ways to continue to build bridges to one another, not just within this body, but to other bodies of believers too, right? So Paul says, declare your interdependence. He says, embrace your interdependence. Celebrate your interdependence. Notice what he says again. This makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. Don't miss this last part. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. If one member within the body suffers, we all suffer with them. Let me give you, let's use the body analogy again, right? You ever had this happen? Oh, your back goes out. Raise your hand. Anybody had back pain ever? Doesn't it just like wreck everything for you? It does me. It's like everything hurts. You ever woke up in the morning and you're like, oh no. You ever had one of those where you get a stiff neck? And isn't that just a terrible thing to live with through a whole day and like everything hurts? Paul says that's what it's like in the body of Christ. If one member is hurting, we all hurt with them. I also like what else it says. If one part is honored, it says we all look at them and go, they don't deserve all that. No, it says that we're all glad and we celebrate. Man, nice job. I am so glad that you and I, that we're in the body of Christ together, that we're family here at Northwest Church of God. I heard you got a promotion. I heard you've just been nailing it at work. Man, nice job. You are representing Jesus in an area that I'll never will touch. And I want to thank you for that. Man, you're knocking it out of the park. That's what he's talking about. But now, my friends, it comes to this last passage of Scripture. Listen to it. He says, now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Here is a list of some of the parts he's placed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, those who preach God's word, teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together, those who speak in languages they have never learned. Is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a preacher? No. Are all teachers? Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Can everyone heal the sick? Well, of course not, Paul says. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in languages we've never learned? Can just anyone understand and translate what those are saying who have that gift of foreign speech? No. But try your best to have the more important of these gifts. And that's when he goes into chapter 13 and says, don't make such a big deal of the gifts that you forget love, because love is the most important thing of all. Now comes the time to put these into practice, okay? Here's where we end this up with 2 points. Ready? Every local church, Paul says, is the representation of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is saying and what I want to say to you. Remember as you walk out these doors whose you are. Remember who we are representing, Jesus. Together, individually, but corporately. Let me say it differently. Remember who we are representing to the world, Jesus. Some churches haven't done a really great job of that. Maybe it's in our church at times. Maybe there's somebody who's a new representation of Jesus. Might that be you that God is sending to give them a different taste of what the Jesus life is really supposed to look like and be like? Let us use the gifts he's given us. Let us learn how to do it appropriately. And remember that your spiritual gift, my friend, it is never to boast. It's only to bless. It's never to show. It's only to serve. So let us love and edify each other. Let us love and bless others in Jesus' name. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you have a vital and a necessary part in this place. Man, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to close with a song. It's an old hymn. Maybe you've heard it. I'm going to read just the lyrics to you, and then we're going to sing it as kind of our prayer to God, okay? It goes like this. Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful only for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Here I am, all of me, take my life. It's all for thee, Jesus. It's all for thee. Would you stand with us? Let's sing this. Let's make this our prayer as we go from this place this morning.
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, let that be our prayer. That we would be flaming arrows in the hands of a merciful God, ready to be used by you, launched out into the world around us. Move me, use me for your kingdom's cause. We pray all this together in your most holy, high name. All God's children say, amen. Go with the Lord, he'll go with you. We love you. We'll see you again soon.